BJ Banks is here in the studio. What's up, my friend?
Hey, man, it's good to see you. And I always appreciate you having us on here all the time. I brought a great special guest. I've admired him ever since he started working in the Bartlett school system.
Yes.
Or city system, rather, sorry.
Bartlett city system, yes.
School city, it's all.
So it's all the same now. It's, you know.
But he had let me do some songwriter show stuff back in last year, was it?
Yeah.
Michael Bollinger, director of BPAC, wonderful guy, you know. I've tried to bribe him and take him out to lunch, and he just...
I've heard you a few times, Michael, over on NPR, the Checking on the Arts.
Right.
Daryl
yeah.
Had...
Yeah,
right. Yeah, because sometimes I'll listen to something other than this for a minute, but, you know, and I heard you over at NPR, and you guys have a great time over there.
We do.
Daryl's a great cat.
I like talking to Daryl, and then sometimes I do it with Khaki, and she's...
Yeah.
She's much wackier than Daryl, you know. So,
Khaki's a hoot. Yeah, I've known her for a while as well. Yeah, we all kind of know each other.
Well, first of all, thanks for letting me come on and visit you today.
Oh well, thank you, Michael.
And you're making me feel welcome because when you walk in the lobby out there, it's painted purple, which is my favorite color. So you can't beat that.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah.
And then BJ, thanks for the introduction. I'll give you the dollar later. Okay.
Wait a minute, who's getting paid around here? You came in and handed me the schedule for the 2018-2019 season.
Yes, sir.
20th anniversary. 20 years, really?
Yeah, they opened in September of 1999, and the first actual performer, not performance, but was Art Garfunkel.
Was it really?
Yeah. And oddly enough... I wasn't here then, obviously, but I understand across the town at some other venue, I don't know which one, Simon was performing.
Oh.
I'm not joking.
Same night?
Yeah. So Simon and Garfunkel were in Memphis, but not together.
On different stages.
The same day. But yeah, Art Garfunkel opened in September 19th, I think, of 1999.
Wow.
And the center is actually in the beautiful town of Bartlett, Tennessee.
Yes.
Great town.
Yes.
And the way I say that is it sounds like it's way out in the country away from here.
No, it's not.
I mean, it shares the northeastern border to Memphis. I mean, literally, if you go to Stage Road, which is Highway 64, literally on by Germantown there, you know, where Wolf Chase Gallery is. But like on one side's like Bartlett, one side's Memphis.
Depending on which direction you're going,
depending on what direction you're going. And a long time ago in a land far away, I'm a native of St. Louis, Missouri, and grew up there. But St. Louis, the metro area, is like 3.5 mil.
Yeah.
You know, now Memphis, I actually really like the size of it because it's, to me, it's much more manageable. It's 1.5 mil, you know, and approximately. And, but, you know, it's big enough that there are plenty of things to do, plenty of restaurants, shopping.
Oh, there's a lot happening.
Lots
here.
Of cultural events.
Yeah.
But yet small enough that it kind of seems like a smaller community, you know, the arts community particularly, or like for me to get from Bartlett, because a lot of people, particularly from Memphis, go, Bartlett, that's a long way away.
No, it's not.
It took me like, you know, 17 minutes to drive, you know, from my center, from my center's door to your parking lot, which I...
We're right here in the middle of the city, really.
I couldn't have missed because BJ's, of course, he's got his handsome cowboy hat on, and I'm driving into the parking lot, and I see you standing in the door in a great cowboy.
Don't say it.
No, I know. In a great cowboy pose, this guy with the white cowboy hat. I was like, okay, I'm at the right place.
Got his hand on his hip, getting ready to quick draw somebody out there.
Yeah.
So I was looking for my gun.
He was quick draw on his etcher sketch here.
I have no respect today. I can tell you that. Thank you, Michael, for showing up.
How did you wind up in Bartlett? You said you came from St. Louis. I mean, you've always been in the theater industry, right?
I've been in like the arts, particularly the performing arts, my entire career. But a long time ago, in a land far away, I went to Webster University in St. Louis. They got a great conservatory of theater arts. Majored in acting and directing.
Yeah.
The month I got out of school, I started my own theater at Lake of the Ozarks, which is a big tourist area.
Yeah.
Very different than it is now, because then it was like seasonal. kind of like the summer season and then nothing, you know. Now it's pretty well year-round, yeah. You know, year-round communities
everything.
And then a couple years after that, I got the directorship of something called the Lyceum Theater, in the which is in the state of Missouri. It's 45 minutes west of Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
And but the significance of that is it's the oldest professional regional theater in the state of Missouri, but it's the only one not located in St. Louis or Kansas City.
Right.
And when I tell you this little story, you're going to go, well, what in the heck is up with that? But the year I got the job was an even year, so I filled out the census, right?
Right.
And I'm not joking. So it was like 30 miles west on 70, west on Highway 70 past Columbia, turn right on Highway 13 on a little two-lane road, and don't blink, and there's Arrow Rock, right?
Right.
And
just a wide spot in the road.
but truly, the sign when I got there said population 81, right? So I was there the next year. I'm driving in the next summer. I joke you not. The sign had been changed, and what do you think it said?
82.
Population 82. 80. Hee-haw! I actually had to laugh because I alone represented. I had my own voting precinct, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then the theater. When I took over in the 20th of that directorship. They only had one director. Actually, oddly enough, there was a Memphis connection. A guy named Henry Swanson. He's passed away now. Now, at that point, he was director of Christian College, which is now Columbia College.
Yeah.
But my reason for telling you that is soon after that, he went and became a professor and then the head of the department at the University of Memphis in theater.
Ah.
And so a lot of their actors and even crew came from Memphis, you know, so there definitely was a Memphis connection. But then it was a pretty sleepy town, but if you ever go up there, it's a great place to go for a weekend. It's the whole town looks picture postcard perfect. The actual population sign now says like 67 or something, you know. However, it was first noted by Lewis and Clark, called Pierre Lefleche, like Rock of Arrows, because of a bluff that they went by, said this would be a good town. And but there's a state park, there's about a dozen buildings restored and on tour, antique shops, bed and breakfast. But there's this 208-seat theater when I got there. And when I got there, and I was there for 25 years, I got the job when I was pretty close out of college, but when I got there, the attendance was less than 6,900, and when I left, it had peaked at 35,000. When I got there, the theater sat 208. When I left, we actually built a new theater, it now seats 408.
Wow.
And many times we would sell out, and I always got a big kick out of that, was when I was sold out, the attendance in the theater was five times the population of the entire town. But what happened over the years, and it's still going real strong, you can look it up, lyceumtheater.org, but is it just over the years gained a reputation for doing really good work.
Yeah.
You know, so people would drive in and have a meal and go see a show or maybe stay in bed and breakfast.
Sure.
Good feel.
Yeah.
It becomes a destination.
But it was more like Playhouse on the Square. It really was live theater.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, in about 2005, I headed east. And from then on, I've been directors of performing arts centers, where there still might have been a live theater component, but primarily they were bringing in acts, you know. So I opened up one in Suffolk, Virginia, which is by Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Then I was headhunted to go up by New York City to the South Orange Performing Arts Center. And then most recently, I moved here from around Charlottesville, Virginia. That was before the Nazis moved in.
Those Virginia Nazis.
It's crazy. But anomaly. But at any rate... But I was looking for a new directorship because the theater that I was at there called the Louise Arts Center, I grew their attendance about 400%. But it was a much smaller theater. I actually moved there to get out of northern New Jersey.
Yeah.
It was right outside New York City, and I liked that. But I honestly did not like living in New Jersey, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, looking around, the Bartlett Performing Arts Center was looking for a new director. And
then here you are.
Phone interviews and did a real interview, and I arrived here on December the 5th of 2016. But I inherited a season. So when I got here, you know, because the seasons are fall, winter, spring.
Right.
So when I got here, I was kind of babysitting what was going on. And actually, I always think if you're taking over, unless you're starting from scratch, Performing Arts Center, that's a good time to do it.
Sure.
Because, okay, it's still going, but it gives you just a couple months to get a lay of the land. You know, like, how's this thing run? What has worked? What hasn't worked?
What are the quirks of the place and the people?
And what's the vibe of Memphis?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm new here, you know.
Sure, sure.
And so my first real season that I programmed started was last year, September through May. And it went well. Our ticket sales had beat the last 2 years, and our subscriptions beat the last 3 years. We also are kind of beefing up an outdoor concert series we have that BJ played at last year called Music by the Lake. And it's just kind of what it sounds like. I got some music, and it's right by the
lake. It's right by the lake. It's exactly as
which
it is.
It kind of surrounds BPAC, though. It's really pretty setting.
Really, it's very
you know?
Nice.
And then we also, for the first time in 19 years, started an arts and education program where Bartlett school students are bused in to see two shows that are exclusively for them.
Yeah.
Professional actors. But then the neat thing about that is, A, they don't get, with the generous support of Mayor McDonald and the city of Bartlett, they don't have to pay anything to get there. All they got to do is bus them in.
Sure.
B, most kids, even if they're from a middle class or upper class family, most kids have never been to live theater.
That's true.
They've
never been exposed to it.
No.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, it's a great exposure to them of going to a live theater and what's it like and what's expected of them, how you behave. Yeah. But it always, so it has entertainment value, but it always has some educational value. Like, for instance, last year one of the shows we did was Pinkalicious, based on a very popular book for young kids. And it's about this young girl named Pinkalicious, and they ask what she wants for her birthday, and she wants everything pink. Pink cupcakes, pink lemonade, pink cake, pink decorations. So she ODs, not really, but I mean, you know, drinking pink lemonade and pink cupcakes at her birthday party, and the next morning she is pink.
Oh.
Her hair and everything. So now she doesn't think it's very cool. Well, how do you get better? Good nutrition. So, you know, it's entertaining. They go to the theater.
It's a show with a message.
And they learn something.
Well,
you know?
Sure.
And we had 2,500 kids see those shows last year. You know, they've always done some theater there, but they partnered with smaller groups in the region. And because of my background in theater, we do have a live theater component, but we're self-producing our own shows now, so we're having auditions.
Because you use local actors and local production people.
Yeah,
right?
Last year we did Smoke on the Mountain, which was very successful for a youth theater production. We did Godspell, which actually I was really pleased. Turned out very well, and it's been done before, but it had a Jesus was a young lady, and so was Judas.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, if that's not non-traditional, I don't know what is.
Absolutely,
you know? But it made, it really, people were silent every night when it got to the serious parts, you know. And then in the spring, we did a show, First Baptist of Ivy Big Gap. But the point is, we had auditions in the whole greater Memphis region, because no doubt, we would not exist without our great partnership with the city of Bartlett.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy they recognize the importance of the performing arts in the city of Bartlett. But also, BPAC, Memphis, is really blessed in that there really is, for the size, a great deal of culture here.
There is. When I first came here, I was a bit, I guess, set back a little bit by realizing, you know, Memphis, of course, is what we call a large little town.
Right.
It's a big little town.
Right.
But there's a lot of, just in theater alone, there's so many theaters here. There's so many entertainment centers here for that. And it's, and it's, you think, well, how can a city like this support it? But it does. It does support a scene because it's so big and it's deep and it's rich here.
Right. So the thing is, no doubt we serve the citizens of Bartlett, but I feel very strongly we're an important player in the greater Memphis arts community.
Oh, absolutely.
Because at any one of my performances, sure, there's a bunch of people there from Bartlett, but there's also people there from Memphis and Cordova and Germantown and Lakeland and Mumford. And that's something, isn't that something that I know Mumford?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're bringing in some variety. And that's the key.
Yeah.
You know?
And some of our shows I was very pleased with. Of course, it's because of specific artists. But for instance, we ended our season with Edwin McCain, right?
Yes.
You know, who did a great, great acoustic show. Him and just two other musicians.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed that we had a couple drive in from Kansas City, a couple drive in from Springfield, a couple drive in from somewhere in Kentucky, a couple drive in from Chattanooga, a couple drive in from New Orleans, Texas, because they wasn't not that in that case it wasn't because well we want to go to the Bartlett Performing Arts Center, we want to go see Edwin McCain, we've been fans for life,
sure,
and we. You know, we try to see him once a year. One couple said, well, we try to see so-and-so, you know, because that's happened for other shows, too. We try to see, like, Edwin McCain once a year, and when we saw you, and that's one of the neat things about BPAC, when we saw you only have 350 seats, we were like, how cool, we can get to see Edwin, like, in our
in a very
living
intimate
room.
Setting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like him sitting in your living room.
Yeah.
It's well made. And you guys are expanding a little bit on that, too, aren't you?
Well, not expanding seating. It does only seat 350. So if you're in the back row, you're up close and personal. But this year, it may not be done by the opening night of this season, but it will be done before I'm pretty sure before Christmas, definitely before the end of the year. We're putting in a new sound system.
The first
one in 20 years. Not that the one in there is bad, but it's 20 years old and
needs to be updated a little bit. Yeah,
changed so much. You know what I mean? So we're putting in all got a new plan or sound design and putting in all new speakers, and so it has naturally good acoustics anyway. But if they think it's nice now, it's just really going to be peachy in a few months. Yeah.
That'll be great. Michael Bollinger is here from the Bartlett Performing Arts Center. Is B.J. Banks from the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, and I'm looking at the 20th anniversary season.
Yes, sir.
Is coming up, and I was just thumbing through it, and I come to Groucho Marx.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. y'all dug him up, and
I've
heard of Frank Ferrante. He does quite the. Quite the impression of old
He's
Groucho.
Exceptional. He actually met Groucho Marx, but the interesting thing about Frank is, and he's done this for all of his adult life, but the interesting thing about Frank is when he was like, I don't know, like 10 or something, his dad took him to some movie matinee of showing old movies, but it was of the Marx Brothers, and he just fell in love with the shtick at that age. And if you go to his website, he even has a video, like 8mm movie or something like that, that he and his buddies made. They were like Chico and Harpo and stuff, but he was doing Groucho when he was like 13.
Yeah.
He liked it then, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he went on to do, it was an open mic something at, I'm gonna say he went to UCLA, he didn't, but somewhere in California, but Groucho Marx's son happened to be there and was like, wow. You really do my dad well.
Yeah.
And so they did a show, and he's performed at the West End in London and off Broadway, and he tours all over the country. He does other things too, but he particularly likes that old school of comedy. And whether you know who Groucho Marx is, you'll love it. That's this October. But if you don't know who he is, it doesn't matter.
No.
With all the bad stuff going on in the world and everybody on the internet, or as my mother used to say, the intranet.
The intranet.
She saw it on the intranet. It was on the Facebook, you know. But you'll walk out. I guarantee you, you'll walk out smiling.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great show to see.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites when I was a kid, man. Just anything to do with Groucho Marx, I read the books and watched all the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm a huge fan. I've always been. Yeah. Backing up, though, the season starts September 21st. Is
yes,
that right?
Sir.
Yeah, and that's Mr. Aaron Tippin.
Aaron Tippin, and he's a CMA, multiple CMA award winner, Grammy nominee. I don't think he's won a Grammy, but, you know, he's probably had like 15 top 10 country songs. You've Got to Stand for Something is the first big one that he had, late 80s, maybe. But that's as close as I'll get to loving you. Where the Stars and the Stripes and the Eagle Fly, Working Man's PhD, and of course, BJ's favorite, Kiss This.
Yeah.
But he's really, and it's going to be.
I'm feeling a theme here.
But it once again, if you're a fan of him, you get to see him not in a big outdoor arena or beer fest. You're going to get to see him in a nice air-conditioned 350-seat theater with great sound.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and this is sort of an unplugged show. Now, it is electric, but it's all acoustic, him and two other instruments.
Right.
And an up-and-coming artist out of Missouri named Tanner Lee is going to be opening up for him that day. But I'm looking forward to that show. It's going to be a great show.
A little bit later on, you've got the Frankie Valli tribute that's happening.
Yeah, that's the first weekend of October. It's called Let's Hang On, the Frankie Valli tribute. And now, here's the deal on these tribute shows. what I try to look for is, I usually look for acts that don't try to be the artist. Like, hello, Paul, and he's 70 years old. But that just do their music justice. So these guys don't say that they're Frankie Valli or anything.
No, they're just performing their music.
Yeah, they do dress the period and everything, but they do pay homage to their music. And, of course, the songbook with Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, that was actually slightly before my time. But, I mean, Big Girls Don't Cry, Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Walk Like a Man, Ragdoll, Sherry, and of course, Working My Way Back to You, and a whole bunch more. But like every single one of them, I was like, when I was researching them, I know that.
Yeah.
So people are gonna love it, and they've got all the moves and everything, and a live band with them.
Of course, we mentioned an evening with Groucho, but you've got something for the kids here too, don't you?
Yeah, we beefed up last year our family shows. The first one is in October. It's Mammoth Follies. I love this show because it does teach. This is one that does a public show, but it also do this arts and education thing too, right? But for the it teaches in a musical, and it teaches about the history of dinosaurs through all the ages.
Yeah.
But what's neat is it's performed. There's only one real human in it, and it's performed by dinosaurs. But they're not like mean Jurassic Park dinosaurs.
They're not going to go stomping through the
theater.
They're
not going to
eat the front row.
They're like big Muppets. You know, it starts out with the first one's like an egg about 3 feet tall that kind of wiggles around. The top pops off, and this little baby dinosaur goes, hello, you know. But then it kind of goes up from there. And a couple of, as it grows, one is Trixie the Triceratops, and standing next to me, her spikes are 6 feet tall. And then there's Betsy, I think, Betsy the Apatosaurus, which is like a brontosaurus.
Yes.
She's 22 feet long, and then T-Rex is 11 feet tall. And it's just really the way, well, you can see that's the Apatosaurus there in the picture. But it just is amazing when you see these big...
Oh, and I'm sure the kids will go crazy for it.
Yeah, these big critters come on stage, you know what I mean? And so that's going to be a great one to take your kids or grandkids to. Or, once again, BGI, I think you'll enjoy that show, you know, so...
Heck, I like kids' shows, man. I watch them with my kids all the time.
They're easy to digest.
I can be doing my other stuff and watching
them. No, you can't do that in the theater.
No.
Not in the theater, at home.
No, I was just saying, you leave your phone in the car when you go to the theater.
Right,
I never take that. I haven't seen people do that. I hate that.
No.
Well, you may have my iPad up, and I can do solitaire while the show's on.
No, we
kick people out that do that, you know.
Yeah, you got to show some decorum in
there. Well, and the great word, decorum, that's great.
Yes.
But no, it's really... really an entertaining show. The next one is also a family show, Pinocchio. It's produced by a colleague of mine that I met back in New York, but he's from England, but he has a company called the Panto Company, and he is very good with particularly kid shows.
Yeah.
His production values are really great, and it's a musical, but a lot of the music is very contemporary, not like old-timey.
It's been dressed up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And Pinocchio isn't, it is the story, but Pinocchio is not like a little puppet on strings.
No.
He's like a 5 foot tall.
He's an actor.
Yeah, puppet. You know, yeah. So, and the kids get, and on that case, the kids actually get to meet the entire cast and Pinocchio afterwards out in the lobby and have their photos taken.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Very cool,
yeah. Yeah, and all that. Yeah. So, I'll let you say the name of this next one. I'm really jazzed about this next one.
Oh, Los Lonely Boys.
Yeah.
I saw them in Austin, Texas when
they were
first. They? Oh, they were fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were great. That was years ago. They opened for ZZ Top when I saw them.
But, wow.
But no, yeah, they've come a long way.
I'm really excited. I've wanted to work with them for a couple of years. And, it, you know, it's always been difficult, mainly because of their price point and the size theaters I was at, you know.
Right.
So, and a lot of what they play is, once again, outdoor festivals.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So they have a party thing going on, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but also it's you and 5,000 other people getting drunk outside, you know, and
I'm okay with that.
actually, I don't care for that. I never even cared for that when I was young.
Yeah.
Because I just never liked that. I always liked going to concerts, but like in a venue which was hard to find. Like I saw Mellencamp in a 500 seat theater.
Right.
But so you could really see the person and really.
You feel like you get to know them a little bit. There's
right,
a connection that happens.
Right, rather than you're like way back here. And plus, you got to stand for 2 hours in the sun.
And there's some guy barfing on your shoes.
Yeah,
and
right,
that's,
right.
Yeah, it's no fun.
So, but they're probably the first Hispanic band that ever performed at VPAC. But they're, and now why I preface this is with all this stuff about are you American or whatever is, I mean, they're born in America. I mean,
yeah.
They're not like. They didn't cross the border and sneak in, you know. But when they started getting big about 15 years ago or so, they actually were in Nashville.
Yes.
And then they decided once they got hot, then they did move back to El Paso, their original town.
Yeah.
But they play perform all over the country, but they are just great. I think that their guitar playing, it's three brothers, I think their guitar playing reminds me very much of Santana, the lead
yes.
stuff,
oh,
you
yes.
know, yeah. the riffs. And you know, since you do songwriting, Aaron Tippin writes most of his songs. So does Los Lonely Boys.
I'm gonna try to make that show.
And they got great harmonies, great soaring vocals. But they had they first came on the scene with this song called Heaven. You remember that song, Heaven?
Yeah.
You know,
I do remember that. Yeah.
And for people listening, just YouTube it.
Yeah.
Great song.
It's
you
a great tune. Yeah, it was a hit for them.
Yeah, you immediately go, oh, yeah, I know that. But it spent like 76 weeks on the charts. So, at any rate, I'm really jazzed about that.
Oh, that'll be a lot of fun.
You got a lot of variety on there, man. That's
trying.
Oh,
well,
I'm going through this. There's a ton of stuff in here.
That is one of the things is we try really hard to have, you know, because we're not the Grand Ole Opry, not the Bartlett Ballet. We're not the Bartlett Symphony Orchestra. We're the Bartlett Performing Arts Center. And not everybody likes country. Not everybody likes jazz. Not everybody likes blues. Right. Not everybody has kids. So we really do try to have great diversity, knowing that maybe not every show is going to appeal to everybody.
Right.
But hopefully there'll be some shows that appeal to everybody, but singularly. Does that make any sense?
There's always going to be a show that somebody's going to want. There's several in here that I want to go to already.
Yeah,
I'm gonna.
How are we doing on time?
We got about 10 minutes.
Okay, well I'll talk less about them.
Oh, you're doing fine.
If the mayor, I don't know if he is. If the mayor of Bartlett, a great guy, Mayor Keith McDonald, but I think he's listening. But couple months after
hey,
I was
Mayor,
there.
How you doing?
A couple months after I was there, he introduced me at some place, and he goes, "And soon you'll get to know our new director of BPAC. He's quite a—I'm paraphrasing—but quite a verbose fellow." And I had to look that up. Going well,
verbose? Was I insulted?
Well, I think that's good.
It is.
I think that's good. Well, actually, the actual definition is. uses more words than required to answer a question.
Well.
But see, I'm from a background in theater, so I like really painting the picture for you, you know. But can I go on down the list?
Absolutely, yeah, keep going.
Well, now this is our first live theater production, which we're just about ready to announce the cast on it. It's Sanders Family Christmas. It's the sequel to Smoke on the Mountain, which is set in like about 1940 in this North Carolina church, and this preacher decides he's going to have his first ever Saturday night gospel sing, so he invites the Sanders Family gospel singers. Now, it's the kind of show that if you're religious, you might think you got a blessing, but if you're not religious, it doesn't matter. It's just a really entertaining show.
Sure.
But all of the music is played live. Guitar, fiddle, banjo, mandolin, by the actors, and or sometimes I supplement the cast with cousins
that
play the real instruments. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But if you saw Smoke on the Mountain last year, or I think they did it a few years ago at Playhouse on the Square, this is a sequel to it. Come and see it. It's just before Thanksgiving. You will not be disappointed. Great show. John Davidson. Now, BJ, you probably remember John Davidson, you know. He's spent his life on TV and some TV shows, but he's been he's host of TV shows. One of his traits is, or facts is, you know how Johnny Carson, when we go on a vacation or something, would have a guest host?
Yeah.
Well, his deal is he guest hosted the Johnny Carson show more than anybody else, I think like 85 times.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But he also does live theater. Like this last January when they had Finding Neverland at the Orpheum, he played Captain Hook and he also played the grandfather in it. Well, anyway, this is going to be an evening with John Davidson. It's December the 1st, I think, or November.
November 30, yeah.
30th, yeah. And then now this truly is an icon. Judy Collins.
Yes.
I mean,
that'll be fun.
Is an icon. She doesn't write a lot of music, but she's just an icon. She's been around so long started out in the folk music scene. And two of her biggest songs that she is known for is Amazing Grace and Send in the Clowns, which were both nominated for Grammys. That's December the 5th. And I think many of these are going to sell out.
Yeah, they'll sell out pretty quickly. Yeah.
After the first of the year, we got Bradley Fields. He is a world-renowned magician. That's a great show for the family, but it's not particularly a family show.
Uh-oh.
You could come to it and you'd enjoy it. You know,
right.
But if you brought your kids, they'd enjoy it too. But he's pretty
wide spectrum audience.
Pretty remarkable.
Yes.
You mentioned this before, one of you, Dale Watson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dale.
He's sort of known as the king of outlaw music or the king of honky-tonk music.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to be here in January. He's actually going from Austin, where he lives now. He just bought a house in Memphis and down by where Elvis used to live. Well, where Elvis is sleeping right now. But at any rate, Dale is coming through because he's on his way to Florida. So he's stopping here on a Friday. He's driving to Florida on Saturday. And on Sunday, you know how they have these music cruises anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he is on the Outlaw Music Cruise.
Wow.
We got a lovely play I highly recommend called Love Letters. Just beautiful play in February. Here's another kind of blast from the past. We got Rumors, the Fleetwood Mac tribute. And if you look them up online, R-U-M-O-U-R-S, and just listen to them. And once again, they don't try to be Stevie Nicks. They just try to do justice to the music.
Right.
They're really good. This is the only act I'm bringing back from last year. The High Kings, they're an Irish band, and they are just exceptional. And they pretty well sold out last year. They haven't done a lot of contemporary Christian music in the past, to my knowledge.
Right.
So I'm having this fellow here, Guy Penrod, come in. He used to be the lead singer for the Gaithers,
mm-hmm.
which is a very well-known group, and I think he'll sell out. That's in March. Our youth theater production, it's professionally directed, but starring kids from the greater Memphis area.
Yeah.
We're doing High School Musical, Disney's High School Musical.
Oh, that'll be fun.
We'll have auditions. Watch our website. We'll have auditions in November, and rehearsals start in January, and the show's in March. Bartlett Community Concert Band, we have a great partnership with them. The Russian, this is for some class. The Russian String Orchestra is going to be there at the end of March.
Yeah.
They used to be called the Kremlin String Orchestra. And Vladimir is sending them personally himself. And no, I'm joking.
He's going to sit front center, make sure they don't screw up.
Yeah,
watch your emails now, Michael.
They're exceptional. This next show, I'm really jazzed about. It's March 30th, and it's called the Rat Pack Show. And in this case, these guys do try to be Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Frank Sinatra, and Joey Bishop. It's like you know how they used to do a show together in Vegas,
right?
So it's like a show, and it's like the
it's that show.
It's that show. So they do all the jokes, but they sing all the songs that you want to hear, you know. And these guys are really quite exceptional. They're all out of Vegas, actually. And you see how it says Sandy Hackett's Rat Pack Show,
right?
Does anybody know who Buddy Hackett was?
Oh yeah, yeah, Buddy. Yeah.
Well, that's his son.
Oh.
So he plays Joey Bishop, but he produces the show. But he said that, and it's really great because he said, you know, when he was a kid growing up, he'd actually go to barbecues, and there'd be like Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin at his dad's barbecue because his dad was a comic, would open up for him. Did you ever hear the Stylistics?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Stylistics, the lead singer, if you remember in that group, they're a great R&B group like The Temptations, and they the lead singer in their group always had a real high voice, almost falsetto,
right?
And that voice was a guy named Russell Tompkins Jr. Well, this is Russell Tompkins Jr.'s group, and he was very young when he was with them. And so it's all their songs. You Make Me Feel Brand New, Betcha By Golly Wow, You're a Big Girl Now, Break Up to Make Up, Stop, Look, and Listen. It goes on and on. And they're just a fun show because they do all the moves.
But all the suits.
The suits. I don't know if it'll be yellow like in this picture, but the music just makes you smile.
Well, sure.
You know. Tony Jackson is country. You ever heard of him?
He sounds familiar to me.
Well, he's up and coming country singer, but also, as you can see, he's African American. The only reason I point that out is there aren't a lot of black country singers, you know. But what he does is he doesn't do his own. Well, he does a few of his own songs, but it's not like he's doing country music rap or anything like a lot of it. You know, he would make George Jones proud. In other words, he's very much old school.
Traditional
in his approach and just how he sounds.
Right.
When he sings a Hank Williams song or any of the other classics, you'll go, wow, that's really cool. And then the last show of the season is called Calendar Girls. And it's once again a play that we'll have auditions for in the area. Regional actresses. There are a couple actors in it, but it's a comedy, but it's based on a true story that was later made into a movie and then into a popular play that's played in London and in New York and all over the United States. And what it is this group of gals like each other, and one of the husbands gets sick, and they want to try to do a fundraiser to help them out, so they're talking about what to do, pie bake or whatever, bake sale, and they decide they're going to do a pinup calendar. But what's cute about the show is it's not like they're 19 and 20 or 30 year old girls. They might be 40, 50, and 60 in all different shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't worry. You're not really going to see nudity, or I'd get fired, you know. But what it is, you know, like for instance, when they do their little pinup calendar, maybe one of the gals is like leaning over like a flower box with posies, you know, and she's got a nice little bonnet on and a little watering can, but the posies
are covering
the important part, you know. So, you know, or maybe one is having a cup of tea on a Sunday morning and reading the New York Times or the Bartlett Express or the Commercial Appeal, but it's kind of covering everything. So it's just, you know,
it's clever,
suggested.
Yeah.
It's very clever, but it's just a real cute and darling show. And once again, I keep going back to in this day and age how there's so much bad stuff out there. You know, give yourself a break and, you know, come to one of these shows, and once again, there's great stuff in the entire region. But I think the thing that they'll be pleased with BPAC is it's so intimate.
There's not a bad seat in the room.
No, they're going to love it. You know, and also in honor of the 20th anniversary season, we got a great deal.
Yes.
It's a subscription, but just buy five or more shows.
Yeah.
Any shows. It doesn't matter. You pick whatever shows out of the 23 we've just talked about.
Yeah.
And you'll get 25% off.
Well, that's a deal.
Yeah. And you either got to stop by the box office or give them a call to get that deal.
Uh-huh.
They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 2. And once again, it's like over a 9-month period. So go to a show.
There's something for everybody, yeah.
Yeah, go to a show every other month and save 25%.
And it's only by phone or at the box office.
For that deal. And then if you just want single tickets, you can buy them online right now 24/7 at bpac.org. Pick your own seats.
Yeah.
It's done, you know, but you just don't get the deal, you know. But still, we've got really great ticket prices. And, you know, I'm so pleased to be in Bartlett. I'm so pleased to be in Memphis, part of the arts community here. And I'm very excited for the coming season. And I thank you so much for
letting
me come on today. It's really great.
The schedule is also available online.
Oh, the whole schedule.
It's all up there.
BPA, okay. And it's BPACC. BPACC.org.
Uh-huh.
The whole schedule's there. And when you click on, you'll see like the season, small little bitty things. But when you click on each artist, then it'll take you to a page about them that tells more about them, has a link to their website. All these artists you can find probably by going to YouTube.
Oh, sure, well, yeah, you can, yeah.
To sample their music and
see what it is.
and what I've been really pleased with some of our renewing subscribers is they are selecting such great diversity of music. You know what I mean? Like maybe they'll have the Rat Pack Show and the String Quartet and Aaron Tippin.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, at any rate, rather than I'm only going to go to the nostalgia shows, I'm only going to go to the country shows. They really are showing great diversity in their selections.
Well, it's going to be great. It's a fantastic season that's coming up. Congratulations on 20 years.
Thanks. The phone number is 385-5588. 385-5588. Doesn't that sound good on the radio?
It does. 385-5588.
Until last year, they just had one phone.
Uh-huh.
Number for the box office or the business office, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to go into, as the preacher in Smoke on the Mountain would say, we're trying to go into the modern age.
The modern age.
And, you know, so you can buy your tickets online. And there's a dedicated box office number. And when the city let me pick out what the number was, I picked it by going, what looks good? And what sounds good to say on radio.
Yeah.
There you go. And it's easy to remember.
Yeah, 385-5588 or bpac.org. And I do once again want to thank the city of Bartlett for supporting the arts.
Absolutely.
It's so important. So important.
That's great.
I want to thank them, too, for letting us do the songwriting thing over Singleton. I mean, it's just great that we get to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And all the performing arts that's going on in Bartlett, it's growing.
Yeah, it is.
The school getting rebuilt and going
to
have a bigger.
Oh, we're trying really hard to be a good community partner. One of the examples is the school, the high school this year. Well, they're basically tearing down parts of it, right? So the old auditorium is being torn down.
I think it's down.
Okay, and so this year and probably into next year, they're doing their shows actually at BPAC, high school.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The other thing is BPAC has many other spaces.
It's not just the theater.
Not just the theater, but that are available for rent.
Yes.
The theater's available for rent, too. But so the point is, there's lots of other stuff going on at BPAC other than these shows that are really mine,
and they're
ours.
Sizable rooms, too.
You know, but we got places for small meetings, or we had a wedding reception last Sunday. You know, there's a place called The Studio that can handle about 50 people sitting down, and it's wooden floor, but also it has a full bank of mirrors, like a dance studio.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to have a nice luncheon in it, you could. If you want to have a training meeting in it, you could. There are black curtains that cover it up. Or if you want to rehearse a dance in it, you could.
Yeah.
You know, so, you can call and ask for Myra, my friend Myra, our operations manager, and she'll help you out with that.
Are those prices online? Or
the prices I don't think are online, but they're not a secret. She'll once she figures out, because a lot of it's by hour, right. You know. So and it depends on what you want to do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But she can help you out with that. And we've checked out. We're very reasonable within the other places that you can go to within the city, greater Memphis.
Yeah, very good. There you go. BJ, next week.
Next week will be good.
Very good.
Did I take BJ's time?
No. This is it.
This is your time.
Bringing in everything from performing arts.
Great.
For Bartlett, because it's songwriters, there's performers, there's
great.
Actors.
That's great.
You know, there is
thank you for
lyricist.
Doing that.
There's lyricists. And I did, and I continue saying, that Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, the word alliance is real important, because we all have to join forces to keep the performing arts alive and well.
Right. You know? He could do a commercial, couldn't he?
He should, actually.
That sounded good, BJ. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That sounded good, man.
Oh, he was up all night trying to memorize that line.
Yeah, you remembered it.
He did fine.
I got the Ginkgo going.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you so much.